Philippians tonight, chapter number 2. We appreciate each one of you being here tonight. I tell you, the meeting up in Bristol, the meeting over Good Shepherd last week, it's just wonderful to see the Lord giving Brother Mitchell his strength back. And I'm praying God will do the same thing for Brother J.W. He's kind of down right now, but I tell you what, God can raise him up. I'm talking about down physically. He didn't seem to be down spiritually at all. But physically, he's weak and needs strength. Pray for him. All right, Philippians chapter 2 tonight, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Verse number 12, and I'd love to preach this little paragraph tonight, but I don't know how far we'll get. We'll just go and see what happens. I try to be mindful. The teenagers are over here. The kids are over here. It's a school night, and I try to be mindful of the time on Wednesday night. I believe if you start going to 9 o'clock on Wednesday night, I'd say your crowd died down in a hurry. Amen? Kids got to go to school and got to get them ready for bed and all that. Has anybody heard from Brother Wayne Good? Anybody heard from Brother Wayne? God reminded me to pray for him a while ago, but he had an episode at the jail last week, and he was supposed to go through some tests. He had an episode where he was just repeating himself. Kyle was with him, and I just wondered if anybody had heard. He was supposed to go through some tests, but let's pray for Brother Wayne. I know he needs our prayers. Amen. Let's pray for him tonight. I'll call him after church tonight, the Lord willing. And that'd be the Lord's will for my wife to remind me. Help me say amen right there. Amen. All right. I just took care of that. All right. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Boy, this generation doesn't have much fear about it anymore, does it? Doesn't have much trembling about it. It said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. I'd read that little phrase right there, and it reminds me, those little phrases in the Bible, of the perverted scriptures. Some are calling Bibles, but the Bible said right there that we are the sons of God. And some of them people can't even get John 3:16 right. They say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Well, Jesus is not God's one and only son. We're the sons of God. Jesus is God's only begotten son, just like the King James Bible said. Amen. But I tell you, they can't sometimes even get the simplest things right. The Bible said here, we're the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Here's another prayer request. You better start praying right now. I don't get to that part tonight. Amen. I'm just kidding. We know we're in a mess, don't we? Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Pray with me a moment. Lord Jesus, I need your help. Lord, if I'm going to be a help, you're going to have to help me. Now, I pray, God, tonight you'll help me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help our folk that need a touch physically. God, these that need to be saved, I pray, oh God, speak to their heart. Lord, I pray for Alan Gilreath once again. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, work in his heart. God, we pray tonight you'd magnify the scripture now and magnify the truth in our presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul begins here in this little section with the word wherefore. And you need to, when you see the word wherefore, the word therefore in the Bible, always back up a little bit. But we know that we've already studied that part up there where the Lord has given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When that thief got saved, he couldn't kneel. He couldn't bow his knee, but he bowed his heart. And he said, Lord, I'll tell you, I'm of the opinion there's nothing wrong with bowing your knee. But if our heart's not bowed with our knee, then we're not doing any good to bow our knee. Amen. But the Bible said here, wherefore, my beloved? Paul said, knowing that God's given him a name above every name, knowing that every tongue's going to confess, knowing that he's highly exalted him, knowing that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, knowing all of that, he said, my beloved, he said, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. You know, isn't it a blessing? If you've ever been a foreman on a job, or if you've ever been any kind of a shift leader or leader, isn't it a blessing when people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, whether you're looking or not? And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm not with you, but I tell you what, Paul was continually getting the news from these churches. Amen. He said, besides all this, he talked about the things that he went through, the trials, the tribulations. He said, the care of all the churches. I really don't believe there was ever a time when the Apostle Paul didn't know what was going on in Thessalonica and didn't know what was going on in Philippi and didn't know what was going on at Ephesus and didn't know what was going on over at the church of Corinth. I'm telling you, he did know at the church of Rome and he did know in all these other churches. He knew what was going on. He kept up with things and he cared. And the Bible said here, it's a blessing to me, Paul said, that you've obeyed, always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. The songwriter said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We're living in a microwave society where everybody thinks there's a shortcut for everything, but for the blessings of God, there's no shortcut. We must trust Him. We must not only be saved by faith, but we must walk by faith. We must live by faith if we're going to experience the blessings of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 5 said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. There's those words again. Singleness of heart. And then he said this, as unto Christ. What if everybody in America that says they're a child of God approached their job in the morning like they're doing it for Jesus? That's what that Bible said right there. In that day, in this day, the servant, my friend, listen, was a bond slave. He said, do it with singleness of heart. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Paul is talking about laboring. He's talking about working. He's talking about obeying. He's talking about working out our own salvation. Working out that God has worked in to our life. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. You want to know one of the reasons? Listen to me, I'm not even down there in that passage yet, but I'm headed that way. You want to know one of the reasons our country's in trouble? Because men quit laboring. Amen. And a government took them up, amen, said, we'll take care of you while you sin. That's exactly right. Got money to buy booze, money to buy cigarettes, money to buy the magazines, money to want everybody to have an internet, everybody to have a TV, everybody to have something to eat. But the Word of God talks about the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life,
which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Listen, you can't even get started for the Lord until you get this right. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Hebrews 4:11 said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We're living in a generation that thinks we ought to rest now. But the Bible said there remaineth, therefore, rest of the people of God. And we ought to labor to enter into that rest. My dad said one time, he kind of said it as an item of humor. He said, the only bad thing about doing nothing is you can't quit and rest. Amen. I'll tell you what's the truth. You wouldn't have to rock some people to sleep. Amen. They wouldn't be up all night if they'd worked during the day. 2 Peter 1:5, the Bible said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. You say, preacher, why are you reading this scripture? We preached out of this several months ago. Why would you go over that again? Because listen, that's what Paul is saying when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God's putting something down inside of you. You be sure that it gets to the outside. Someone asked a question one time. Is there enough evidence in your life to convict you of being a Christian? Of being a child of God? That's what Paul is talking about. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, I thought this was worthy of repeating. He said, we work out what the Lord works in. The grace of God is not a reason for idleness, but for diligence. As both will and work are given us of God, let us will with firm resolution and work with dauntless perseverance. For so shall we fulfill the good pleasure of the Lord. I like that statement. Psalm 2:11 said, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I believe tonight Paul is on the right track in the church at Philippi. He says, knowing that Jesus is exalted, knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that God has given him a name that's above every name, how we ought to serve him, obey him, and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, the Bible said, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul said over there in the book of Romans, we read it I think Sunday night a couple weeks ago, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's a key right here in serving the Lord. He said, it is God which worketh in you. A lot of men feel compelled to produce. But our job is not to produce. Our job is to bear. There's a difference in producing fruit and bearing fruit. And I'll say this. I don't say it lightly. The Baptist church in the 70s and the 80s got caught up in a trap. They got caught up trying to outdo one another. Are you listening to me? Got caught up under pressure to produce baptisms, to produce conversions. And we quit abiding in Christ. We're supposed to abide in the vine. By the way, you can get too busy, even in the work of God. You can get too busy. And I believe with all of my heart what Paul is saying right here. He said, for it is God which worketh in you. Listen, it's a trap. Somebody said, well, I'm working for the Lord. It's a trap. Listen to me. It's not so much us working for the Lord, but it's God working on us, God working in us, and then God working through us. I'll tell you, if God's not working on me and God's not working in me, God's not doing much work through me. A lot of people, they want to come as they are and go as they are. I come to church, praise God, I want God to work on me. Amen. You got them old big trucks, Brother Rose, and seemed like every other week something going wrong. Amen. They got a lot of miles on them. And there'd be a brake system go wrong or have to have an overhaul or something like that. He said, "Preacher, I don't understand. Why would you want to keep working on them trucks? To keep them running. You want to know why a lot of men aren't running in this generation? They refuse to let God work on them anymore. I want to keep running. I want to be like Brother Fred when he said, I just want to work as long as I can. I just want to serve the Lord." Amen. Well, if God's working, He's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe God wants to work in us. I believe God wants to work on us. We're not there yet. Paul knew that. He said, "I'm not yet apprehended. I'm not arrived." I tell you what, you listen to some of them preachers. Amen. They've arrived. If you want to know how to live, just ask them. Amen. They can tell you all about it. Amen. Paul said he hadn't yet arrived. But he said, "This one thing I do." He said, "I got to forget what's back there and reach forth to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For it is God which worketh in you." Here be a good prayer for our church. God work in our church. God work on our church. And God work through our church. That'd be a good prayer for you to pray for your pastor. God work in our pastor. God work on our pastor. God work through our pastor. That'd be a good prayer for wives to pray for their husbands. God work on my husband. That's easy, ain't it? Amen. Work in my husband and work through my husband. Amen. Paul said, "It's God which worketh in you." I'm going to tell you something right now. That's the only work that's going to last anyway. That's the only work that's going to last. You go on down to verse number 14. He said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." As soon as I read that today, I wanted to add to the Bible. Easy now. I've done read that chapter of Revelation. Amen. I just thought an 11th commandment would come in handy right here. I heard somebody say this years ago. So the 11th commandment would go something like this: "Thou shalt not bellyache." Amen. I tell you what, if you don't see the Spirit of God go out the window real fast, just start bellyaching. I pastored a man years ago, and he'd going down the highway, and his wife was sitting over there, and he was complaining about this and complaining about that. And she looked over at him in a few minutes and said, "Do you want some cheese to go with that wine?" He's just whining about everything. Amen. Amen. Numbers 11:11-1 said, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." I was thanking God today as I was looking at this scripture. I'm being honest. I've been here almost 2 years, and I can't think of anything. Maybe somewhere along the way there was something somebody murmured about or complained about. But I tell you what, if we want the presence of God to hang around here, we can't be a complaining and murmuring about everything. It displeases the Lord. It did in Moses' day, and it will in this day too. The Bible said in Exodus 15:24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" Exodus 16:2, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." Exodus 17:3, "And the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Brother Billy preached out of a text over there last night. He brought us out. Thank God he ain't going to quit right there. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Amen. 3 days across the Red Sea, they're murmuring already. I'll tell you something that'll cure murmuring. God showed him a tree. Remember that? Glory to God, the water was bitter. God showed him a tree and he threw that. I tell you, you get to Calvary and you'll quit murmuring. Say amen. God, show us the tree. In Numbers 14:29, he said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Serious, isn't it? Numbers 16:41, but on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Deuteronomy 1:27, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. In Joshua 9:18, and the Lord, the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. John 7:12, our Lord said, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man, and others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. When our Lord walked the face of this earth, the Bible said there was a division among the people because of him. Can I tell you that in our generation, there's still a division among the people because of him? The Bible said in Acts 6:1, I want you to think about this now. Think about this. You know how the book of Acts starts off. Jesus is getting ready to go away, and he said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus is ascending back into heaven, and those two men standing by in white apparel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw going into heaven, coming back in the same manner. Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait till you be endued with power from on high. And God uses a miserable failure by the name of Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. I cannot imagine just a few days into the book of Acts, anybody murmuring. But they're doing it. You say, preacher, why? Well, there's several reasons. One is it's human nature. It's human nature, if you have a positive and a negative, to accentuate the negative. You say, well, preacher, who are these people always running around accentuating the positive? Probably spirit-filled folk. Folk that would rather see the good. Amen? I remember studying there in the book of the Revelation how that Jesus, even when he was correcting a church, would commend the church for what they were doing right before he corrected them. What about that? The Bible is telling us here in Acts 6:1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Right here in the early days of the early church, they needed the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not bellyache. Amen. I've tried it a few times. And I thank God that I'm married to a woman that don't care to set me straight. I'll try it and she'll look at me and say something like this. Don't you believe what you preach? Oh, I hate that. Hate it. Amen. But I thank God for my wife. I thank God that we can overcome this murmuring and this disputing. Some people would rather argue than eat. I used to work with a man, honestly, he would rather argue than eat. One of the things that comes to my mind almost instantly, he was talking about a helmet that the soldiers wore. And this was them old ones now, the steel pot. Not the Kevlar that they got today. He said, them things will stop a bullet. I said, I don't believe that. I said, they might stop a glancing bullet or maybe shrapnel from a hand grenade or something like that. I said, I just don't believe they'll stop a bullet. Oh, they'll stop a bullet. We argued a while. I went home the next day and got that 270 out that I deer hunted with. I had a piece of half-inch steel. Half-inch thick. Now, y'all know them pots ain't near that thick. I set it up against the fence post, and I backed up 100 yards, and I shot it. I carried it to work at night, and I said, what do you think about that? He said, what'd you do that with? I said, a 270. I said, them boys in the military shooting 308s and 30-06s and 223s with full metal jacket bullets. I said, that's a deer hunting bullet. And it shot all the way through that piece of steel. But he'd still rather argue. You ever run into that in a church? Amen. Bad. Paul said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Well, what do you think? Think we ought to hit that next verse? I don't know. Verse 15. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I believe I'm just going to set the verse up for next Wednesday night. But if you don't believe that our nation's crooked, you've got your head in the sand. You're looking at a preacher. Listen, this is just one man's idea. I'm not even sure we can have a fair election anymore. Y'all know that there's things in the works right now to try to make it mandatory to vote. I guess y'all know who that'll benefit, don't you? Say amen right there. I guess y'all know who open borders benefits, don't you? Programs and programs and programs. Brother Adrian Rogers, I don't know if you get to listen to him or not. I've started catching him on the DVR every Sunday night. The message last Sunday night was about friendships. It was a wonderful message. It was preached in 1987. And when I look at that, I think about Abel, he being dead. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. Listen to me right here. This affects us. I'm praying we can get this set up. I'm talking about this, I don't know what you call that stuff, and HD cameras and all that stuff. I say get her set up. It'd be a blessing, Brother Ralph, to know I was saying something to somebody a long time after I left here. If the world's still going on, Jesus will still have the cure in that generation, whatever generation it is. Brother Adrian said something in, I guess, early 80s. He said, friend, he said, the government cannot give you anything that it does not first take from someone else. He said, when half the people in a nation get the idea, I don't have to work because someone's going to take care of me. And the other half get the idea, what's the use to work? Because somebody's going to take it from me. He said, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation. I'm going to tell you something right now. There'd be some yards mowed cheap if a man went hungry if he didn't work. There'd be some leaves. Brother Gerald, you wouldn't need a snow plow to plow this. There'd be people showing up here, amen, with corn scoops to get it off. Amen, if you had to work. This Bible still said, if a man don't work, a man shouldn't eat. You all know me, and I've said this before, I'm not talking about disability. That's not what I'm talking about at all. There are people in this world that are disabled and cannot work. And listen, God put things in place to help them. By the way, the church shirked her responsibility generations ago. And the government stepped in. And everything the government steps into, it makes a mess out of. In the midst. You say, preacher, it's dark out there. Amen. God has a word for us, Brother Tim. He said, I want you to shine as lights. It might be dark in the community. It might be dark in the country. It might be dark down at the schoolhouse. It might be dark where you work. But God said, I want you to shine as lights. Right in the middle of it. Years ago, I heard the McCameys sing a song. Here's what the song said, the line in the song. I can't remember all of it, but one of the lines in the song said this. We're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're not trying to change any heart. We're just getting used to the dark. I'm not going to get into this fully tonight, but let me tell you how the Lord works. He's working in me. He's working on me. I talked to a young preacher the other day. That young preacher's got some convictions, Brother John. He had the gall to stand up in a Sunday school class and teach the Bible. Boy, I hope you don't get mad at me. If you do, though, you'll probably have to get in line. He told me the other night something that I hadn't thought about in years. When I got saved, I'm just going to give this to you tonight. Give you something to chew on. When I got saved, Brother Bud Wisham was my pastor. And Brother Bud would not go and sit down and eat in an establishment that served alcohol. I didn't really know why. But I knew that was a conviction of his. Now, lest you misunderstand me tonight, that hasn't been my conviction. But he's working on me. And I'll have to say tonight, I'm headed that way. I may not ever go in another place that I know. You say, preacher, what's the matter? Well, the scripture's over there in the book of Proverbs where it talks about wine bibbers and not being among them. That's what it says. And that young preacher, well, he's not real young, but he hadn't been preaching long. He shared that with me over the phone, and I tell you what, the Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. Now, wait a minute. You say, you're talking about in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation. Here's the lie that I believe God's people have swallowed. Let's narrow it down to Kingsport. Don't make any difference. Over half the establishments has got wine and liquor, beer in them. And here's the argument that'll come out. After all, when you go buy groceries, they got it down there. Well, last time I checked, you have to have groceries. The last time I checked, you have to have groceries. Amen? But I begin to think, Brother Houston, of the places that we have eaten that don't serve beer and don't serve wine and don't serve alcohol. Now, you all stay with me tonight. Stay with me just a minute. What I'm saying is we have options. And I'm saying I believe, as far as this preacher, my light might shine just a little bit brighter if I'd take an opt out. What if everybody in Kingsport that names the name of Christ and goes to church began to opt out of those establishments and support establishments? You say, well, the food ain't quite as good. Oh, God might make it taste twice as good. Say amen right there. Now, let me give you something tonight. And I'm trying to be nice, okay? I really am. I'm telling you, God, I believe I'm done with it. Amen. If I know it, and I've got I believe I'm done with it. If I've got a place where I can go and get a burger or go to Mama's house and get a meal or go over to Golden Crown and get a meal without sitting down among them, then I say, glory to God, that's what I'm going to do. You all do. Everybody has to do what they want to do. But listen to me. Listen to me. He said, a preacher, that's been going on for years. Listen to this, getting used to the dark. Listen to what I'm talking about now. I asked my daughter and my wife a question before we left the living room a while ago. I said, what if, Brother John, there was an establishment in Kingsport, and I know there's bound to be in Johnson City. What if there was an establishment in Kingsport that was a hot spot for the sodomites? What I mean, a place where everybody in town kind of knows they gather up. You understand what I mean? Is there anybody in here that would feel comfortable going in there and sitting down among them? Come on now. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that if you'll watch the voting records, if you'll watch our country, what happens is issue after issue after issue goes away. There was a time when it mattered how a man stood on liquor by the drink. There was a time when it mattered when we went to vote, how a man stood on marriage, and if he had been married two or three or four or five times, and if he had been faithful to his wife. There was a time when it mattered how a man stood on abortion. How many's with me tonight? There was a time when it mattered how a man stood on liquor in the town. Many of them didn't even want it in the town, let alone in the establishment. Here's what I believe. The old trick of the devil's coming now. Listen, as far as politics, we're already there. They're all saying, why? It's just another lifestyle. They're all saying, well, you know, we just have to tolerate and we just have to go along. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's crooked and it's perverse. But it's getting more crooked. And it's getting more perverse. Brother Jack's only been in heaven about 12 years. And I believe it's crookeder now than when he went to heaven. Say amen. And more perverse. And if somebody don't stand, then other issues are just going to go away too. By the way, I'm going to say this. When that last issue goes away in the church, are you listening to me? We're finished. If we can't stand right there against what God said is an abomination, it's totally unnatural, we are finished as the people of God. Finished. Finished. I don't know about you, but there's too many people lost. Too many people that needs Jesus to put our light under a bushel and let it go out now. Paul said, among whom you shine as lights. I could get into it. I'm not going to tonight. I'm going to quit. But when Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, Lord, I don't want you to take them out of the world. But he said, I want you to keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. It's went on. Listen to me carefully tonight. It's went on in the area of nakedness. How many knows what I'm talking about? The average commercial's got more nakedness in it than the that what they used to call a dirty movie had in it. I heard this. I believe it might have been on that tape, Brother Rose, that you give me to listen to. And it's true. Every time God's people in that Bible get away, you read it. You go over in the Old Testament and read it. Every time they get away from God, the first thing they do is take their clothes off.
Yeah.
Amen. May the Lord help us to shine as lights. When I was preparing this afternoon, thinking about the sermon tonight, the message tonight, the church, the Lord reminded me of that series a while back, Knocking Holes in the Darkness. If that's what we want to do, and I believe it is, then we've got to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Amen. Not to murmur. I think Brother Mitchell was talking about last night or Monday night. We ought to vote. He said it's a shame on earth how many of God's people don't vote. I don't know who does and who don't, but I know you ought to. Amen. Somebody said you ought to vote or you ought to keep your mouth shut. I'm just going to stop with you ought to vote. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it's got down to where it's the lesser of two evils. Would you, if you had two evils in front of you, would you rather have the more or the lesser? Help me. I'll take the lesser. Amen. Judgment's coming on our country. As a nation, we've invited it. That thing called the United Nations. Y'all get excited when you see how things are shaping up. It's hard for Nancy Pelosi to excite me, but when she got up and walked out on Benjamin Netanyahu, that excited me. She's representing a whole lot of them that didn't even show up. That's what they want to do as a country, is walk out on Israel. That's exactly what they want to do. But the remnant better pray. And the remnant better shine as lights in the midst. Our families need us to shine. Our grandchildren, our children need us to shine. This community needs us to shine. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your people that have come. Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the King is coming, Christ the Exalted One will return. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Wherefore, he said, work out your own salvation. Shine as lights. Don't murmur and don't dispute. God, I pray tonight you'd help us as a people. God, give revival. Please, Lord, send revival. Help us all, Lord, pastor included, to be more sensitive to the precious Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to make wise decisions. Help us, Lord, not to try to defend that which is wrong, but to stand in defense of the gospel, the Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name.